So today is the fourth Sunday of our six-week Epiphany preaching series, Basking in the Light. During this season between Epiphany and Lent, you might remember that we are celebrating the light of God and remembering that the same light that led the Magi to the manger is still shining in the world today. So we are spending these 6 weeks soaking up as much of that light as we can. So far, we have basked in the light of love, the light of justice, and the light of discipleship. This week, God is shining on us the light of healing. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. Now, as we've noticed over the past few weeks, things move very quickly in Mark's gospel. Remember that Mark does not begin his gospel with the familiar Christmas stories that we are used to. Instead, Mark begins his gospel with the story of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Then he tells of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan and then being tempted in the wilderness. It's only about a third of the way into the very first chapter of this gospel that Jesus begins his public ministry, preaches his first sermon, and calls his first disciples. That's the reading we heard last week. Now today, accompanied by the four fishermen who have been called to fish for people, Jesus starts his kingdom campaign. All throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus and his disciples will go to holy places and private homes and public spaces to offer again and again an opportunity to experience the kingdom of God and to believe the good news. So let's see what happens at their first stop. They're headed to the town of Capernaum on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. So listen now for the word of God. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now you please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the story I'm going to tell you started about 6 years ago with a blog post on a site called Humans of New York. The blog was run by a man named Brandon, a photographer who has now traveled all around the world and published 3 best-selling books. He's moved from blog posts to social media platforms, and his Facebook page alone now has almost 18 million followers. But Brandon began his career in New York City by simply taking pictures of random people on the street and asking them to share a sentence or two about themselves. Every night, he would post the photos and the quotes on his blog. One of those blog posts featured a young man named Vidal. After he took his picture, Brandon asked Vidal who had been the most influential person in his life. And Vidal said it was his principal, Ms. Lopez. When Brandon asked him to explain, Vidal said, "When we get in trouble, she doesn't suspend us. She calls us to her office and explains to us how society was built down around us. And she tells us that each time somebody fails out of school, a new jail cell gets built. And one time, she made every student stand up one at a time. And she told each one of us that we matter." Now, after seeing the response to Vidal's photograph and his story, Brandon decided he wanted to know more. So he went to meet Principal Lopez at her school, Mott Hall Bridges Academy. The school is located in Brownsville, Brooklyn, the neighborhood with the highest crime rate in New York City. As Principal Lopez says, it's not the best place to be a kid. Many of the scholars who attend her school have never left their neighborhood, let alone the city. It can be very difficult for them to dream beyond what they know. So when Brandon went to meet with her and asked her how the Humans of New York community might be able to help the school and its students, they came up with a plan. They decided to create a fund that would provide each incoming sixth grade student a chance to get out of the neighborhood and visit a new place. And that place would be Harvard University. Ms. Lopez explained, "I want every child who enters my school to know that they can go anywhere and they will belong." So they set a fundraising goal of $100,000, which would allow the school to run the trip for 3 years, and within 24 hours, that goal had been met. So Brandon went back to the school to see what else was needed, and Ms. Lopez said she wanted to run a summer program so her students would have a safe place to grow and learn during the summer months, and the donations just kept coming at the $700,000 mark. Enough money had been raised to fund the Harvard trips and the summer program for 10 years. Anything beyond that amount, they put into a scholarship fund to help send the Academy's graduates to college, and they named it the Vidal Scholarship Fund. In total, the school raised $1.4 million because people cared. And all of that, it started with a blog post about a young man named Vidal who shared not what his principal had taught him about science or math or English or history, but how she had taught him to believe in himself. Vidal shared that the greatest influence in his life was someone who told him he could be freed from the confines of his past to live into a more glorious future. Someone who told him that he mattered and who had the authority to make him believe it. Now, those who heard Jesus teach in the synagogue in Capernaum could say much the same thing about him. There was something about the way Jesus taught and the authority he carried that really caught their attention. The author of Mark tells us, in fact, that the people who heard Jesus were astounded at his teaching. Astounded. Jesus must have given quite a lesson. But what exactly he said, we will never know. Mark did not record a single word of that teaching, because in Mark's gospel, we're supposed to pay attention to what Jesus did even more than what he said. So let's see what Jesus did when he encountered a man with an unclean spirit. Now, many of us Western-minded folk find this story to be something of a challenge. Our rational, medical, science-oriented minds don't know quite what to do with the story of a man possessed by a demon. But Jesus didn't seem to flinch. You see, Jesus had already announced that the kingdom of heaven had come near, so he just went about his kingdom-building work. He confronted evil head on. He took what was unclean and made it holy. He took what was broken and made it whole. And he had the authority to do it. But what if we don't believe in demons? I love what pastor and professor Fred Craddock says about that. He says, no service is rendered simply by announcing that we no longer believe in demons. Not believing in demons has hardly eradicated evil in our world. Not believing in demons has hardly eradicated evil in our world. We all know that we don't have to look very hard to find wickedness at work in our world. There's domestic terrorism and foreign wars, modern day slavery and human trafficking. There's racism, sexism, homophobia. The list could go on and on and on. And then there are the more personal demons. I mean, how far from where you live, how far from the very door of your house do you think you'd have to go to find someone who is trapped in an abusive relationship? Or how far would you have to go to find someone who is struggling against the power of addiction? How far would you have to go to find someone who has done something they never want anyone else to find out about? How far would you have to go to find someone who thinks their life doesn't matter? Would you even have to leave your own home? Would you even have to look outside your own skin? We all have demons we wrestle with. But the promise of the kingdom is this: we never have to fight our demons alone. Just as the man with the unclean spirit found healing in the synagogue, the church is the place where we can find healing too. It is here in this community of faith where we can bring the pieces of our hearts that we are most proud of, and the pieces that bring us deep shame. We can bring our greatest strengths as well as our deepest needs. It is here we can meet Jesus face to face with all of our glory and all of our madness. And it is here, right in our midst, where Jesus still goes about his kingdom building work, confronting our demons head on, taking what is unclean and making it holy, taking what is broken and making it whole. It is here, in this community of faith, where over and over again, Jesus tells us that we matter. And he has the authority to help us believe it. Friends, it is such a gift that we get to be part of this community of faith, a church where the light of healing and wholeness shines in and through us. You know, from all the conversations I've had over the years with people who are struggling, there are some common themes that that emerge. And one of them is this: we often feel so isolated and alone when we are struggling. So often, our guilt and our shame, our brokenness and our pain, they lie to us and tell us that no one will ever understand what has happened to us, or that no one will ever love us after they find out what we've done. But Jesus tells those voices to be silent, so that we can hear a different message, a message of God's healing and hope, a message of compassion and connection, a message of love and life. So friends, whatever it is in you that is broken, trust that Jesus can make it whole. And trust that this community of faith, this church, will tell you again and again, as many times as you need to hear it, that you are welcome here. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, whatever demons you might be wrestling with, you are welcome here. And you matter to us and to our God. Amen. Friends, we